Our epistle reading is taken from the epistle of Paul to the Galatians, chapter 3, verse 23 to the 29th. Now, before faith came, we were confined under the law, kept under restraint, and faith should be revealed. So that the law was our custodian until Christ came, that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a custodian. For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is no neither slaves nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's offering, heirs according to promise. The word of the Lord. May we all stand, if you are able, for our gospel reading is taken from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17, verse 5 until 10. The apostle said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." And the Lord said, "If you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this sycamine tree, 'Be rooted and be planted in the sea,' and it would obey you. Will any one of you who has a servant plowing or keeping sheep say to him when he comes in from the field, 'Come at once and sit down at the table'? Will he not rather say to him, 'Prepare supper for me, and gird yourself and serve me till I eat and drink, and afterward you shall eat and drink?' Does he thank the servant because he did what was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that is commanded, you say, 'We are unworthy servants. We have only done what was our duty.'" The words of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Amen.
Yeah, you can all sit down. Thank you. What an awesome morning. What an interesting week. I've been thinking about this sermon for this morning for weeks. So I had plans all made out, but you know, I had this sermon all in mind. I was all set. And you know what happens when we make plans? God laughs. And there it was again. This week I was sitting there, and I just sat down to watch the news. Sometimes you have to kind of gird your loins in preparation for watching the news, because some of it's been hard. But I was watching the news, and there's a trial that's been going on. You may have seen this, a Dallas police officer, and she went home. And she said she was just weary, worn out, and just completely distracted, and she went in the wrong apartment. And the door was unlocked. She walked in, and there was a black man there, and he stood up, and he turned toward her. And she panicked and shot and killed him. The trial has been going on. It's a tragedy. Regardless of what all happened, everything involved there was a tragedy. And I've been kind of keeping my distance. I don't need to ingrain myself in more tragedies. I think we've got enough of those, don't we? So I inadvertently tuned to that moment when they're at the trial and they're talking about that. And after she was found guilty of murder, they're at the sentencing, and her family had the option to speak, and her brother is on the stand. And he turned to the judge and he said, "Your Honor, can I give her a hug?" And there was a pause, and the judge didn't say anything, and I realize now that she was stunned. And he asked again, "May I give her a hug?" And the judge allowed it. And was in tears. And this young man, his name is Brandt. This young man came out of the box that he was in and walked over and gave a hug to the woman who had shot his brother. The judge was in tears. Other things happened after that, and some very controversial. But in that moment was grace. You know, we search the world for how to be in the world, how to live, who we are and whose we are, and try and live as authentically as Christians as we can, and we search for models for people to show us how to do that. We pray for direction. And here was a moment of grace. I don't know who Brandt's pastor is, and whether he is an active churchgoer, I assume so. Because this is what Christ teaches. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I'll be the judge. And I'm so glad this woman who shot this man. I've worked with law enforcement. They have a horrible, hard job. And what all happened there, was it based on race? Was it based on any other number? I don't know, and I don't want to be the judge. I'm glad we have a judge that knows and can discern. But here was a moment when a young man knew what God had taught us. Turn the other cheek. Offer your hand. This was a moment of grace. Maybe that's enough. Maybe that's where we ought to just stop and recognize that there is so much good in the world. And there are so many people that are about that. And all too often we see the other part because it makes better publicity and it makes better news stories. But here was a moment of grace, and we thank God. We've got to hang on to that hug. We've got to continue to think about what that hug meant, not only from Brandt, who gave it to Amber, I guess is her name, but what did it mean to her? And what will it mean to her? They are gathered at table. They are gathered together. Did you notice that in the call to worship this morning as Neo was reading it? This talk about the round table. I stole that call to worship from somebody else. It's one of those places that publicly you can do that. A United Methodist site, some man had written it. I modified it a little bit. But this idea of the round table, we've heard that idea somewhere. Where have we heard about round tables? Yeah, the legends of King Arthur, the gathering, and think about what that time was about. Here were all of these knights and these aristocrats with the castles and all the serfs that served them, and each of them were in charge of their domain, and to come together and say, well, gosh, I'm more important than Mark Doctor, and Mark saying, I'm more important than Peter, and Don saying, well, I'm more important than both of you, you know, and so how are we going to gather us together? How are we going to be? And that round table, that idea of there's no head of the table, there is no greater step and lesser seat, but all equals. And Arthur, that legend of equality. And World Communion Sunday is about that. Now, I've got to bring in a little bit of what I thought about saying for World Communion Sunday. I was watching a football game. Any of you have ever watched a football game on TV? Yeah, that was a joke. I like watching TV. I don't remember which game it was. It was not the Broncos, but somebody was playing, and they were in their home stadium, and the home team made a touchdown, and they zoomed back, and they panned the crowd. I don't know how many people are in one of those stadiums, a billion. And the whole side was just cheering and yelling, and the noise level must have been about like a jet airplane taking off, or worse. And I thought, look at all those people unified together in celebration. I got to thinking about that. I wonder how many of them were Republicans and how many were Democrats. How many of them were progressives and how many of them were liberals and how many of them were conservatives and how many of them were male and female and how many of them were white and how many of them were black and how many of them were brown and how many? And I thought, man, I can think of 100 ways that we could divide this whole crowd up and get them into their own little groups there. It's kind of hard, though, because sometimes you get in your group and you're part of this group a little bit and you're part of that group a little bit, and it just creates tension. But here for this brief moment, I looked at them and I thought, in this second, with this touchdown, all of these tens of thousands of people are in unity over a football team. Now, I'm not discounting football teams or baseball teams or sports or pursuing sports and the celebration of all of that. But I wonder if we couldn't find something else as a unifying principle. Right now, the Broncos are not really doing us very good. But what can we unify around despite our differences? In Christ Jesus, you are all children of faith, children of God through faith. As many of you were baptized into Christ, have clothed yourself with Christ. There is no longer Jew or Greek or slave or free or Tongan or Palongi. There is no longer male or female or old or young or gray or brown or blonde or bald. Trying to think of some other divisions. They're not coming to me real fast. But all of you are one in Jesus Christ. When he wrote this, it was mind-blowing. It was shattering to the psyche of the world. There's no longer Jew or Greek. You have got to be kidding me. How could you possibly cross that barrier? These are those other ones that we don't associate with, that we condemn, that we gather together in unity against them. And slave and free. What about that passage that Neo read? Your slave comes and prepares dinner for you. And are you going to invite them to come and you'll serve them? No, they work for you. That imagery is difficult for us today with the slavery part. But it reminds us of our servitude to God. And instead of saying, look what a good Christian I am, we're called to say, I have only done what I've been called to do. I've done the least amount that you've required of me. I have done my duty. Our egos get in the way, don't they? I got to confess, mine does. Anybody? No? Maybe I'm the only one. All right. We'll let that be there. All of you are one in Christ. There's no head of the table. And Christ's table, even more than many. You've seen the Last Supper, the painting, and it's quite famous. It shows Jesus in the middle with the disciples on both sides, the apostles, and all of that gathering. It's not a complete picture because the women aren't present, and the women would have been there. There would have been women and kids and probably pets, because the Passover feast, that's where they're gathered. They're gathered at this Thanksgiving dinner. Might be the model to think about. Everybody's there. In-laws and outlaws, male, female, slave, free. They're all gathered together at table, and he is with them gathered there. And it shows it in a long table because it's easier to paint. But I wonder if it wasn't a roundish table. That's what table is about. And that's what World Communion Sunday is about. All too often we think of World Communion Sunday as our event. I was serving in Ordway, my first full-time appointment. Down, you go south to Pueblo, and then you go out onto the plains till you can't see the mountains anymore, and that's where Ordway is. Lovely little place, but on World Communion Sunday, they had a tradition. They would gather with the other United Methodist churches up and down the valley. There was Swink and Shiraw and a couple others there, Fowler, Manzanola. And we'd all gather in the park and have communion together. One of the churches had grapes that grew on church property, and they'd make grape juice. And I thought, what great unity to gather our United Methodist churches together. And at some point, I thought, yeah, but what about the other Christian churches here in town? What about the United Church of Christ, the Episcopalians, the Presbyterians, all of the other Christians? And then what about all the other good people that ought to be a part of this gathering? And so my table has expanded as I've gotten a little older, and it's getting bigger all the time. I keep wondering, how big is the table going to get? But you know, it's always enough. There's always room at that table for us to gather. And it's important for us to recognize that we are not monolithic. See, I started out thinking, okay, we're all together because we're all United Methodists. And that was our defining element. And that's easy to do, but that's not inclusive. That doesn't say a lot about who we are. We tend to think that we're united around a language and a nation. Christ's table is bigger than that. National allegiance is wonderful. Allegiance to a sports team is wonderful. But allegiance to Christ is always first. And that table of Christ is where we're called. And called to gather. And not just to be served, but to serve. Did the kids do good or what? Boy, they were having fun with those. I don't know. I was getting worried that they were going to get out of control with the spoons and flinging fish. But how would it be if the only way we could get our fish was by serving someone else and being served in return? Love one another as I have loved you. That's who we are. That's whose we are. And that's where we need to be. Children of God. Saints gathered together. Sinners gathered together. Celebrating Christ in our midst. Let's do that, shall we? Let's turn to communion.